In Ephesians 6 and verse number 10, finally, my brethren, Paul has said a lot. But he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You may be seated this morning. Father, we love You. We thank You for the time together in the house of God. Lord, so many times we take things for granted. God, You've allowed us to be here today, and I want to thank You for this time that You've allowed me to come to church this morning. Help us in the Word of God today. Touch hearts. If it be one here lost, I pray that, God, You would deal with their heart. Lord, You'd save them by Your amazing grace. I pray for our country today. I pray, oh God, You would help us as a nation, as a community, and as a church. And we'll be careful to honor You and thank You for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. I want to preach a simple thought today out of Ephesians 6, verse by verse, on finally, my brethren. Now, in chapter 6, verse 1, he talks about the children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's still right to obey your parents. And parents, it's still right to discipline your children. It's still right to be involved in their life. Thank God for mom and daddies that don't just turn their children loose. And so therefore, God has entrusted us with children. He's entrusted us with great responsibility. Now he says, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Well, preacher, how long do I need to do that? Well, how long will you have a father and a mother? That's how long you need to honor them. And that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long upon the earth. And you fathers, seems like it's a more weighty responsibility on that dad in the home. Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Sir, it is your responsibility by God to raise your children around the Word of God and in the house of God. Then he said, verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. And he's talking about there not only the employer, but the employee. My goodness, we ought to be the best employees in the nation. Not that we're serving our masters, but we're serving our Lord. And God's been good to you to give you a job. God showed you favor to give you work. The Bible said in verse 6, not with eye service. When you see them coming around, don't get busy. Be busy before they come around. Not as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. It ought to be in our heart this morning to always do the will of God. As a matter of fact, in your Bible, you'll never read about finding the will of God. You'll always read about doing the will of God. The Bible teaches us how to do the will of God. It is the will of God that you be saved this morning. He's not willing that any perish, but all would come to repent. If you die and go to hell in your sins, you'll go as an intruder, but you'll go anyway because you bypass Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him. And so it is the Lord's will that we be saved. It's His will that we be separated. We ought to come out from this old world and be yourself. We don't need to be ugly to people, but we need to stand our ground. We need to let folks know whose side that we're on. And so it's His will we be saved. It's His will that we be separated. It's His will that we be sanctified, set apart for the Master's use. I'm going to tell you, when that happens in your life, you won't make everybody in the community happy. But if the Lord's smiling, I've found out He's the only one that's got to be smiling. may be the will of God that you suffer. That's in your Bible. There's things that suffering brings that only suffering will teach. I don't like suffering, but I've done some of it. I don't like it, but I've learned things in hours of suffering. And then it's always His will that we say, thanks. Thank you, Lord. Well, preacher, it's not real good at my house. Well, let me tell you something today. No matter your situation, it's better than it could be. And I'm thankful that we can do the will of God. Now, he says in verse number 10, Paul is closing down his writing to the church of Ephesus, and he uses this word, finally, my brethren. I'm glad that this brethren word has to do with the family. I'm glad we're in the family this morning. And we're there because of one person, that is Jesus Christ. And Him crucified on an old rugged cross that paid your sin debt and my sin debt that we could believe by faith and He would bring us into the family of God. So finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, I want you to look at four quick things in verses 10 through 18. And if you underline in your Bible, I want you to notice how these things stand out. I didn't really notice them till yesterday, but help me look right here. Verse 10, be strong. Then, verse 11, put on. Then, verse 14, stand. And then, verse 18, praying. Now, it don't sound like it's an option, but these are commandments. He's telling us what we need to be doing as the children of God. Now, first of all, be strong. Verse 10, in the Lord and in the power of His might. Notice the commanding. He's not suggesting, but He's saying, be strong. And then not only the commanding, but the conditioning. Be strong. Did you notice the only way you ever got strong is you worked toward getting strong? You ever notice these big muscle men, guys, they didn't get to looking like that by sitting on the bed eating potatoes all day. They worked out. They did things to promote strength. And this morning, if it's ever been a day and an hour that the children of God needs to be working out in the Word of God and the faith of God and the prayer of God and the house of God, it is this morning that we may have strength in this day and this hour. Now, notice this week I've quit walking. I was walking about 3 miles every day and now it's telling on me. I'm fixing to take some suits and alterations this week. And then number two, I noticed when I started walking stairs, I was getting out of breath a lot easier than I used to. You know why? I quit conditioning my body. So it is spiritually. I wonder how many in the buildings read your Bible this week. I wonder if we looked at times into our smartphones according to our Bible, which one would it outweigh? Have you put more time in your smartphone or in the Word of God? I wonder how many times you've prayed this week. Wonder how many times you've encouraged somebody. Wonder how many people you've invited to church this week. Oh my goodness, we must realize that we must put forth effort to get strong. And so there's a commanding, there's a conditioning. But notice in verse 10, he says, in the power of His might. Hey church, we don't have any strength within our own self. You know why I promote Jesus in such a way? I've done figured out something. I figured out from the get-go that He said without Him, you can do nothing. We've got to have Him. In the power of His might. I done found out what I can do. I can be a failure real easy. But in the power of His might. This is His church. It's His pews.
It's His lights. It's His parking lot. And we need the Lord to manifest Himself here in the power of His might. I don't know about y'all, but I need the power of God in my life. I need the power of God when I preach. I need the power of God when I pray. And so He says, be strong in the power of His might. You know, the average service in this day and this hour is promoting a few things except the power of Christ. It's promoting marketing. It's promoting things that appeals to the flesh, entertainment. But what about a group of people that when they come in the doors of the church, they realize unless God does it, it ain't going to happen. We need the Lord. We need the Lord encouraging. We need the Lord fixing. We need the Lord healing. We need the Lord saving. And He says, now finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. God can give you strength in the power of His might. And this Bible teaches me that He can give me power. I need to know how to get it in my life. In the power of His might. Now let me tell you something. You that are facing the workforce every day, I did it for 30 years. It's hard. It's frustrating. It's mind-boggling. You moms, you dads that are staying at home with children, you're facing things that some generations never face. You young people in school, you're facing things out there that many of us never had to face. We need the power of His might in our life. Now, be strong. So if I'm going to be strong, I've got to be taught how to get strong. Be strong. Then He says, verse 11, all of a sudden He changes and He says, put on. He's not talking about being a phony. He's saying, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. My goodness, he's having a field day in America, isn't he? I mean, it's amazing to me how gullible America's got. I mean, they'll climb up in the middle streets and tear down statues of our forefathers that have given their life for. And listen, I'm not a racist. I don't even like the word racist. But I will say something. There's nobody living today that's never been a slave owner. And then number two, there's never nobody living today that's been a slave. Now, we can't happen. I mean, we can't change what's happened back behind us. But let me tell you something. There's men that have given their lives on the battlefield. And you know something? You can erase every statue in the country, and it's not going to fix America's trouble. It's a heart problem. It's a heart problem. You know, I could care less what color your skin is. But don't have no attitude with me. I don't care if you're white as a white lily sack, flower sack. Don't have no attitude with me. I don't owe you nothing, honey. But we owe Christ everything. So, we see, put on. Now, he says, I want you to do something that you may be able to stand against the wiles of a devil. Have you ever seen, let me ask you something, have you ever seen such a time that the minority has such a huge voice? No God in our schools? Would you ever thought that one woman would ever got prayers out of the state of Georgia in the school? Would you ever thought that? Well, I'm going to tell you this morning, he's telling the body of Christ that we ought to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil hates godliness. The devil hates homes. The devil hates a church that is in harmony. The devil hates anything that has to do anything with godliness and righteousness. there's the wearing of armor put on. You got to put it on. Every morning in our life, we got to put it on. You know why? Because this flesh didn't get saved. And you know, not only is he talking about the things of the flesh that's coming against us, but here Paul seems to be speaking to the people about standing against the society, the things that are taking over, the wiles of the devil. So there's the wearing of the armor. Then there's the weariness of the armor. You that's been in the army, and you got on your battle gear. And let me ask you something. You boys that's played ball, and I know shoulder pads are not convenient, and helmets are not convenient, but did you know that soldiers never argued about the inconvenience of their armor? Putting on is inconvenient. It requires me to do something. Now, you ask my wife, she lives with me every morning of my life. For several years now, I go straight to my altar is the first thing I do. I've got to put on some things or I'm not going to make it through the day. So I want to ask you this morning, this putting on the armor, there is the wearing of the armor. It's putting it on. And there's the weariness of the armor. But there's the warranty of the armor. In verse number 11, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You cannot stand against spiritual things in the flesh. The putting on. There's the wearing of the armor. There is the weariness of the armor. But there is the warranty of the armor. Let me tell you, it works this morning. And then verse 13, look at the wholeness of the armor. He simply says this, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. I wonder, you boys that play football in a game, I wonder last night, them boys that played on that Alabama team, I wonder if they left their helmets on the bench because it wasn't too convenient to put on. Well, they'd have got their brains beat out. Shake your little Baptist head up and down this morning. So it is with the child of God. Things that are so inconvenient to put on. And so we've got to make ourselves do as God has commanded us in this putting on. The wearing of armor, the weariness of armor, but the warranty of armor, then the wholeness of this armor. This is a commitment. But so many times it's too much for carnality. So, finally, my brethren, be strong. Then he says, put on. Then in verse 14, look what he says. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So stand. I want to say something. If you stand for something, it means you'll have to stand against something else. And then I want to say this. To be for something, then you've got to be against something else. This limbo crowd don't offend nobody. Let me tell you something. My daddy offended me every day he lived when I was home. My daddy didn't care if he was offended. And let me tell you something. The preacher that I came up under, he didn't care if he was offended. Now, I've learned some things the older I've got. Try to have some tact. Try to have some sense. But I'm going to tell you something. What's this junk about you've offended me? Well, you must have thought too much of yourself. So, we see this. Stand. If you stand for something, you've got to stand against something else. To be for something, you must be against something else. Now, verse 14, stand. First of all, we need to stand on doctrine. We're Baptists here because of a reason. The Bible teaches us doctrines that we adhere by. I'm glad I'm washed by the blood. I'm glad Jesus is not an option. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him. And so we must stand on doctrine, on Bible truth, contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Brother Hebert done such a great job preaching here last Sunday on standing for the doctrines of the faith. We've got to have the Spirit of God that deals with sinners. We've got to have the Spirit of God that convicts us and encourages us. We must keep the Word of God in the forefront in our church. So here we see the standing on doctrine. Verse 14, then we're to stand on duty. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now, Jesus said, let your light shine. We're to stand on doctrine and we're to stand on our duty. The Bible simply says this in verse 14. Gird about with truth. We need to stand for what's right. Young people, always do what's right. It pays big dividends at the end. Sin always costs you more than what you've got to pay. And so, we must stand on doctrine. We must stand on duty. Then we must stand on daily. Verse 14, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Every day that we get up, we must learn to put on some things that Christ has left us to put on. Now, verse 14. Notice these that we can put on. There is the belt in verse 14. He says, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. Some of these boys need to get a belt in their britches. Some mom and daddies need to get these belts back on these young'uns, amen. Discipline them the way the Bible teaches to discipline. You don't abuse children, you discipline children. And so therefore, we must put on this belt of truth. If you stand for truth, it'll make a difference in your life. And this, I'm going to tell you, when you stand for truth, you've got to be true to yourself. You've got to say, Seth, you're acting crazy right now. Seth, I don't even know why you're thinking that. Because you're about half crazy. Truth. You must be fastened with the belt of truth. But then look at the breastplate in verse 14. This breastplate of righteousness, godly living, purity living that surrounds my heart. How many times if I would have had the purest type of living, I would have never got in the trouble that I got in days gone by. And it works for days coming. God wants our heart pure. Breastplate of righteousness. Our belt, our breastplate. Verse 15, our boots. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. You ever notice this, that boots aren't made for running? They're made for standing. And how we need to put on the boots of the gospel this morning. And simply, if you'll read in the Bible, pretty much he's just telling us just to stand. That he'd do everything else if we'd just make the stand. See, that's where God's church and God's people want to crumble from all the opposition out of Washington and New York and from what's coming out of Charlotte and Atlanta. Honey, let me tell you, there's power in the gospel to stand your ground this morning. There better be mama and daddies that's going to stand your ground for your children. I seen somebody post a week or so ago, not sure. Well, I'm standing with my family. You ought to if they're right. I seen somebody said, I'm standing with my husband. You ought to if he's right. You ought to stand with your children if they're right. And if they're not right, you ought to correct them and stand on truth. And it's not popular. They might not ask you back to the family reunion. Boots. Verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Above all, now he said all of that. He's not really saying that this is more important, but this is what he's saying. Hold this above everything you've got. And let it be the forefront, the shield of faith. You got saved by grace through faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The shield of faith. How important it is to hold that above what we're suited up with, the shield of faith. Lord, I'm going to make it because You said I could make it. Lord, You're coming because You said You's coming. Lord, this world's gone crazy because You said it'd go crazy. The helmet, verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. And then, verse 17, and the sword of the Spirit, capital Spirit, which is the Word of God. This Bible cuts, don't it? How we need to allow it to cut in our life. To cut away things that God's not pleased with. Lastly, finally, my brethren, be strong. Put on. Stand. But verse 18, praying. You know, I don't know how that the devil ever convinced the church that praying was not so important. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying in the Spirit. Now before you pray in the Spirit, you've got to be filled with the Spirit. Praying. Look at the practice of praying in verse number 18. Praying always. Have you prayed today? The priority of praying. The parts of praying. Look in verse 18. With all prayer and supplication. You know what that prayer and supplication means? It means to give God thanks and to pray one for another. Bring petitions before God of what you need. He said you have not because you ask not. I believe we've got a God that still answers prayer. I believe we've got a God that still wants us to pray. Whatever happened to this old time Holy Ghost praying? The parts of prayer. Verse 18, the power of prayer. He said, in the Spirit. Verse 18, look at the precaution of prayer. And watching. Watching. On guard. Watching. Watch your flesh. Watch the world. Watch Satan. Watch yourself. Watching. Then the perseverance. With all perseverance. Prayer must continue in spite of circumstances. If the devil can get you to quit praying, he's about got you. Have you ever prayed about things and you just didn't see your prayer answer, but you just kept praying? That's hard. Perseverance, persevering. In other words, when you go to bumping up against it, don't quit, persevere. Endure. We'll ask Miss Emily to come this morning as we've had our... I've already alluded to, we've had this day as a national day of prayer. You know, this is what is so crazy, folks. And I will say this as your preacher this morning. And I'm going to be done praying. This is what's so amazing to me. Isn't it sad that when we hear somebody in leadership say we're going to have a national day of prayer, we think that it is so tremendous, and it is, but whatever happened to it? I had a first grade teacher, Miss Sharp, Rockville Elementary School, way out in the country. Y'all have seen it. I'll never forget. I'd never been out of the house off the farm much. Granddad had about 500 acres I was raised on. Little old boy, I never got off that, my bicycle hardly. Didn't have to. All I was concerned about is eating something and kicking up rabbits and shooting them. Somebody say amen. But they took me to school. One of the worst days of my life. I couldn't believe it, man. I got on that big cheese wagon and off I went. There's a woman sitting there. She had a little bun on back of her hair. And she called us all around in a circle. This is what she had. She had a Bible on this knee open. She had a paddle on this knee. And I was sitting there looking at both of them, you know. She'd read us the Word of God. You know that first grade school teacher would have prayer with us in the mornings. And I'm going to tell you something. I know our church prays. And we better do more of it. But I tell you what, I want to do our part of Liberty Baptist Church to pray for our country this morning. To pray for our homes and our community and our children. Mom and Daddy, some of you got children that hadn't been saved yet. You ought to be praying for them. Some of you got grandchildren that's not been saved. You ought to be praying for them. You ought to be praying for our church that we would just stand. Jesus said He'd do everything else. We just stand. Have it on. The essential. But we can't stand unless we got it on. We've got to have Him this morning. Today, it's been called, it'll be a national day of prayer. I wonder, would you this morning find you a place, Miss Emily, place? I want to open these altars up in this church. I want you to pray for our nation. I want you to pray for those in Texas. How sad. I seen that way across the waters last night, there's 45 million people without housing in Bangladesh. My goodness, God's been good to us. I wonder this morning, would you come? Would you gather around this altar? We're as a church and we pray for our nation today. We pray for our community. We pray for our families. I wonder, would you move? You say, preacher, I can't come, God. Well, pray where you are today. You just pray.